Thanks to everyone who has sung today, and it's going to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles with you, Hebrews chapter 9, and sometimes we sit and we wonder where the Lord would have us to go, and then Brother James sung the song, Not Made with Hands, and that's going to tie right in to the portion of Scripture that we would like to touch on today. I'm going to read two verses is all I'm going to read. Because we're going to be in a good part of chapter 9. Try not to hold you too long, but there are some things that that we need reminded of, as Brother James said already. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I know that I'm saved. And, I'm glad that I know that I have a place inherited, an inheritance for me that's not made by man's hands, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I have a spot. Today, and I know that Sister Kayla sung A Child of the King, and I hope and pray today that everyone here knows that that you are a child of the King. If you don't know that, I hope that before you leave here, you do know that. And you can be today, and hopefully by the message, we're going to bring some things out. But the Bible says this in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 27 and 28. Paul writes, and he says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You can be seated today. But the thought that we had and we've been meditating upon lately is your appointment with God. Everyone here in the building today has an appointment with God.
That's right.
But you know that. I mean, I could say, and what's often been said, that every man is going to die. I preached last year, and I said this not too long ago, and we've already seen it coming about in 2019. Last year was probably, I was at more funerals last year than I had been in many years. And as we look at some of those things, we realize that everyone there had an appointed time. But not only did they have an appointed time, you and I have an appointed time. And so as we look at what this means unto us, an appointment is something that is scheduled, it is made. I want you to know something. I'm going to touch a few things, but then we want to get into the heart of the Scriptures. That our appointment with God has already been set. You realize that? Your appointment, your meeting with God has been already established. And if you ever doubt that, the Bible tells us in Job chapter 14, in verse 5, he says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, that he cannot pass. What that means is that I have a time that I'm going to see God. You have a time that you're going to see God. And it really doesn't matter what time that is, but what does matter is the shape that you're in when you see God. Because none of us were ever prepared to meet God. And listen, and I could say that the appointment we have today, it is not one that we can call up God and reschedule it. It's not one that we say, I'm not going to be able to make next month. Hey, listen, it's one that you're going to step into whether or not you're ready to meet Him. It's already been established. God already knows when you're going to stand there. Hey, listen, and so it behooves all of us. It is important that we be ready when we get there so that when we meet God face to face, we can meet Him as a child. We can meet Him as one who has been made. All the preparations have been made. We are ready, in other words, when we go to God and we meet Him on that great appointed day. Hey, listen, that we're not going there to hear some bad thing, but we are going there to see some good things, and that all of our preparation had been made. Hey, listen, and God has given us all we need to meet Him in that kind of shape today. Oh, listen, I say that because a lot of folks have stepped out into eternity absolutely unprepared to meet God. And it's sad today because God has given everything and done everything so that everyone who steps out of this life and meets Him face to face, hey, listen, they don't have to meet Him in a shape of the lost condition. They don't have to meet Him in a shape, hey, listen, where they are ashamed of what they are and ashamed of what they've done. But God has made the preparation that every man, woman, boy, or girl can meet Him in a shape, hey, listen, where they can smile and they can feel His love surround Him and they look forward to the meeting. I know a lot of folks today, and we've had a lot of sickness in the And over the years, and we've seen a lot of lost loved ones, or loved ones, I should say, that, hey, listen, they've gone to the doctor, and they dread to hear what the doctor's going to tell them. They dread to hear the news they're going to receive when they get there, and some of those things can be rescheduled. The Bible says this, if we stick into Job 14, and this was a time when Job had lost everything. Hey, right? He had already lost his children. He had lost all his land, his cattle, his home. And listen, his own wife cursed. And she said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And listen, Job got to the shape. He cursed the day he was born. And listen, and he just didn't want to live anymore. And he was looking forward to death. And listen, and he was asking God, why are you keeping me here? But Job's appointed time had not come yet. He was suffering in this world. He was going through some persecution. The enemy had a hold of him. Satan had a hold of him. But the whole time that, hey, listen, that God had withdrawn his coverage from the body of Job, the Lord still had the hedge planted around the soul of Job. And listen, and death could not touch him. God never gave Satan that power. It was in God's hands. And Job cried out and he said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. What Job was saying was, I don't have a say in this, but I'll wait until my appointed time. But I will simply wait on God. And when that time comes, my change will take place. Thank God today, there's going to be a change in the lives of everyone who meets God. So then, we know that we will die, right? Death is something we preach so often. Sometimes I think we just allow it to flow off of our lives and off of our ears and off of our hearts like water on a duck's back. But if we take a close look at it, we know that death is going to come. The Bible tells us plainly the wages of sin is death. We know death is come to everybody. That's when the appointment for mankind is death. That's what I'm talking about. Will none of us see God face to face until death takes a hold of this body? But when death takes a hold of the body because of sin, what is put inside of mankind, the soul that God breathed, will go back and it will meet with God. It'll meet up with God, and God will, at that appointed day, the Lord will be looking for one thing and one thing only. The Bible tells us here, as we look at this, I wrote down, we know we will die. We understand that. We know that we will meet God. We know that. The Bible says, as we look in the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ told him in one place, he said there was a rich man, and he said that lived sumptuously every day of his life. And then there was a poor man, Lazarus, that lived at his doorsteps, and the dogs would lick his wounds, and he desired to eat the crumbs and the scraps off of the rich man's table. You want to know what happened? The rich man died, and Lazarus died. And both of them saw God. You might say, well, the rich man said he lifted his eyes out of the depths of hell. Absolutely right. But hey, listen, before he got in the depths of hell, I believe he had his appointment with God. Amen. I believe that everyone leaves here lost has an appointment with God. Hey, listen, for the Bible tells us that they beg and cry to him, and they'll plead their case and they'll plead their cause, and God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But unto this poor man Lazarus, hey, listen, he was at rest in the bosom of Abraham. Why wasn't he in heaven? Because Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. And he hadn't come out of the grave yet. But I can tell you today, I believe with all my heart, Lazarus is in heaven right now. Thank God. Being prepared or being ready should be the most important thing of our lives. I'm amazed today, and I said it Wednesday night, and as we get away sometimes from coming to church, as we did on vacation, it gives you time to meditate, gives you time to think, and it gives you time with the Lord alone. And hey, listen, some of those things, they can just sit in there and they can stir that much longer. But as I look at it and I come back, I thought, Lord, how it is that people just go every day so unconcerned for their soul, when the most important thing in our lives today ought to be making preparations to meet God. Because that's an appointment you're not going to get away from. And it's also an appointment that you don't jot down on a calendar that you can schedule for yourself. I've got a calendar. My wife keeps one at home. I should say she's got a calendar. She just tells me what to do and when to do it as far as our schedule goes. And when I need to look, I'll pull it out and I'll find it, because she keeps it there in the kitchen. But listen, our appointment with God is not such an appointment. We don't write it down. We don't have the liberty. God don't say this is the day to be ready. A lot of people are living their lives in that condition. And listen, they've got it in their mind that they're going to wait till the last minute, and all of a sudden they're going to jot their appointment down, and they'll make everything that ready and get all their preparations ready, and then they'll when everything's ready, then they'll be ready to die. Almost like they're trying to pack everything and get everything done the night before they meet God. I want you to know, some folks, that's not how God works. You're not going to do that because you don't know when you're leaving. And so then we look at this and we say, well, how do we prepare to meet God? The Lord has brought me to this 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I look at this and we begin to, and I'm going to get in there just at a few things, but James sung the song, that building not made with hands. The Bible says this, and I'm going to take a few scriptures out of Romans 10, and then we're going to get over to Hebrews, and we'll shortly try to wrap things up, not keep you too long. But in chapter 10 of the book of Romans, Paul writes to him, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God of for Israel as they might be saved. Paul had the same determination and love for Israel as you and I ought to have for our own people. Our heart's desire is ought to see our people saved. Hey, listen, I want them to do good. I want my loved ones to live well in this life. I want them to succeed. I want them to have good things. But above all things, I want them to be saved by God's grace. Because that's the most important thing there is. And besides that, hey, listen, how they live their life is between them and God. But our heart's desire is ought to see them born again. Paul said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And he goes on and he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believeth. That sounds a lot like the day and time we're living in today. People say they know God, say they love God. Some will even have a zeal for God, but they are ignorant in their own understanding. Their people are going about to establish a righteousness that is not of God, but is of themselves. That's where you get all this teaching in. If I live right, if I treat my wife or spouse right, if I do good to my neighbor, live by the golden rule. Everyone knows that. Everyone appreciates that. I want to be treated like I'm going to treat someone. And if I don't treat them foul, I don't want them to treat me foul. That's all good moral living, but it won't get you there. Paul said of his people here, he said, I bear them record. He said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, listen, there's some things that need to be revealed unto them. God has given all revelation for mankind to come to the knowledge of the truth. How does he do this? It's through the Word of God. It's through the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Hey, listen, it's sitting under the authority of God's holy, undefiled Word. Hey, listen, in heaven, it hits you like a ton of bricks and lets you know where you stand with God. He don't care about your good moral living. He cares about your soul today. You get your heart and soul right, your living will clean up. But your good living won't get your soul right. Only God will do that. And here's how. Paul said, I bear him record. He said, they're ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish your own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You've got to submit yourself unto God. I could go around the church today and I could ask everybody here to raise their hand on the day they got saved, and the question could be, did you submit to God the day you got saved? Everybody's hand would have to go up. How else are you going to get saved unless you submit to God? You don't submit to God, you're not born again. Hey, listen, what have I preached here out of this pulpit? What repentance is? Repentance to God is simply denying yourself and agreeing with God, and you submit unto Him that you're lost and that Jesus Christ is the only way. And you need His blood more than anything. And His blood is the only covering for your sin. Oh, listen, God is so good unto us. He's given us everything we need to make that appointment. Hey, listen. And I remember the day I got saved. And I don't know when my appointed time is, Brother James, but all of a sudden death became a glory. Hey, listen, it was just a place, a time of glory where my transfer would happen. I wasn't worried anymore about where I would be. I wasn't worried anymore about being separated from loved ones. I wasn't worried anymore about, hey, listen, being in outer darkness, having the flames of hell all over me, hearing all the screams and the cries and the torment and all the darkness and a lake of fire and a bottomless pit and all those things the Bible said. Hey, listen, all those things would tear me up when I would think about them. So I chose not to think about them. But the time come when God showed me that I was going to stand before Him. Hey, listen, and what mattered the most is what I had done with His only begotten Son and what I had done with Jesus Christ. And I realized, hey, I had to submit unto God. You got to submit.
Amen. That's right.
Paul said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end. The law, you could say, to man's standards, was good moral living. We look at the Ten Commandments and we know that the Ten Commandments are not the whole law, but the Ten Commandments are just that. They are the commandments. And if you keep those commandments, and the law had other rituals and other things that go about, we're going to get at in just a minute. But the Ten Commandments are all good moral living. Hey, listen, but it says Christ was the end of that. So Christ, we know, He didn't give them 10 commandments, He gave them 2. And we all know what those are, and you can go read your Bible. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. And so we know that if we love our brothers and our sisters, we know that we've got the love of God in us. The Bible tells us that. How do you know? You've passed from death to life because you love the brethren. All of a sudden, the love of God is in you. Christ is in the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul also wrote in his 9th chapter in verse 9, he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. I'm trying to show you how do you prepare to meet God, right? He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you might be. He didn't say, I hope you are. He didn't say it's a good practice. He said, thou shalt be saved. I mean, that's just final. That's it. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no ambiguity. There's nothing in there that would make you waver. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you believe from the heart, confess it with your mouth. There's a lot of folks confessing with their mouth, but Jesus Christ told the Pharisees in one scripture, He said, your heart is far from me. Well, then how then can they be prepared? It's from the heart that you believe. And you might say, well, Victor, I do believe. You don't have to convince me. You'll be convinced by God. The problem today is too many people trying to convince the pastor and convince the preachers and convince their loved ones that they're saved. You don't have to convince me. You get born again. Hey, listen, your life will be a show of what you are on the inside. And so you don't have to go about convincing people. Your life will show what you are. Paul said, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Christ said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. So I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a child of God. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm saved by God's grace. I'm not ashamed of the blood of Jesus today. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said it again. So you've got to call on Him. Submit unto Him. So Paul gives them a clear lesson and a clear message in the scriptures in the book of Romans on how to be prepared. I'm going to get back to Hebrews real quick and we'll be wrapping up shortly. But James sung that song, Not Made with Hands. As we look at this, we find then that as I was studying this and meditating upon this, Paul was telling them those things in Romans. And you think about what Christ is and what He told them. He said that, that you must believe, call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. How has God prepared us to meet Him? What brings us to Christ really is the question. How did God prepare mankind for the coming of His own Son? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if you think about what would have happened if Jesus just would have shown up. No law, no temple, no promise, nothing ever had been established, no pattern. I mean, right? I mean, that's what we look at the Old Testament, and the law was a pattern of better things to come. So what would have happened if Christ would have showed up and said, I'm here, I'm the Messiah, with no pattern, no knowledge, no prophecy, nothing laid groundwork beforehand? Where would have man stood? They would have been lost. I mean, they wouldn't have understood it. They would have been confounded by it. Because we know that sin was revealed unto man when what? When God gave Moses the law and He brought it down. Because Abraham was, hey listen, he was covered by faith. Amen. But the Bible says the law come by Moses, right? I mean, God gave Moses the law to bring to the people. For what reason? To bring them to the knowledge of sin. And so God, and some might say, well, Moses was a great man. Hey, he was a great man, but this was God preparing the way for His own Son. This was God's way of preparing mankind for the coming Messiah. So that when Paul writes to him in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, and he goes on to tell him over there real quickly in that 9th chapter, he says, if we get into really 9 verses, 11 and down, but we'll start at 11. Said, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered into once of the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and the goats... let me slow down. If the blood of the bulls and of the goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the pure to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What Paul was trying to tell them here, he was reminding them of the things, hey listen, that man had done, that God had patterned the coming of His own Son after. And what did he do? He reminded them in these scriptures. If you look at verse 19, he says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both of the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. What he said. They dedicated the temple. They ordained and purified the priests. They sanctified the instruments. Hey, listen, and God told them what the offerings had to be. Everything was purged, and everything was cleansed, and everything was sanctified by the shedding of blood. The temple was sanctified. The priest was sanctified. The instruments were sanctified. And the offerings, before they were ever went in and made, they were prayed over that God would sanctify them and accept them. So here Paul finds himself in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, reminding them of all these things. And he says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. He told him, he said, all those things were a pattern, but this that I'm preaching unto you. Hey, listen, I'm preaching about a high priest. I'm preaching about a sacrifice. I'm preaching about a temple. I'm preaching about a kingdom not made by the hands of man. Hey, listen, the priest never touched it. Man's never touched it. The kingdom of God has never been laid on by man's hand, but God prepared it. And aren't you glad the sacrifice is one that man didn't bring, but God gave His own blood once and for all to forgive sin. God has prepared. Hey, listen, mankind was prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus come walking on the scene, listen, I know that a lot of folks had blinders on. And still today, a lot of folks have blinders on. But God has given everything, has been revealed unto us, so that everyone could see that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God. And Paul preached to him later in that chapter. Hey, listen, and it kind of changes in verse 23. He says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What he was telling them was there was, hey, listen, that if we look at it, the necessity of the pattern, hey, listen, of the things to be shown that God had showed, it was necessity that those things be purified. It was a pattern for what was coming. But Paul was saying, but what is here now is sanctified with something far better than what the pattern was. Amen. And the pattern and the things that they sanctified could in no way, in no shape, in no form purify the better things that God gave from heaven. For the things that God gave from heaven, hey listen, they were much better and holier and more precious than the patterns of the things that man had done. Amen. And that's why what we serve is higher than man. The God I serve is higher than man. The way that we're living in, the way we serve, is not our way, it's God's way. The word that we follow was not brought down off of a mountain carried by the hand of man. It was written down by the finger of God. It was God, we've all heard that. What is the Bible? It is God-breathed word that He gave for each and every one of us so that we could know Him and be prepared. And Paul said this, he said, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Jesus Christ did not go into the temple that was in Jerusalem. Hey, listen, I know there was a temple there, but he told him, he said, you tear it down and in 3 days I'll build it back. Right. He wasn't talking about the temple that took him all those years to build. He was talking about the heavenly things. And so he did not enter into the place with made with hands, which are a figure of the true. In other words, Paul brings it back in. That was just a pattern of what God was doing. And he says, but into heaven itself, Jesus Christ entered in. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, once and for all. Not every year. Not to go back that our sins need covered again. For if our sins needed covered again, then the blood of Christ wasn't sufficient for everyone. But His blood, He is the great high priest, and there's Bible for that. We could talk about that on another time. We might preach it another day. After the order of Melchizedek, He had no beginning. He had no ending. He is a high priest once and for all. His blood was sufficient and perfect once and for all. Christ is not still hanging on the cross. His blood is not flowing off of Calvary. Hey, listen, out of His body, but it has already been taken up into heaven, presented to God the Father, so that whosoever call upon the name of Jesus, Paul said, shall be saved. Thank God today. He said, for then must he often, well, let's back up. He said, nor yet that he should offer himself often. We just touched on that. As the high priest entered in the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. What Paul was saying was there, if he had to go back over and over, he'd still be suffering. But he's not suffering. He's a king. He's sitting on the throne. He is high and lifted up. He says, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. So the blood of Christ covers all sin. Yes, it does. The blood of Christ is what prepares us to meet God. I've often said, made this statement, and sometimes it seems like it has an effect on people, and sometimes it just goes right over their head or in one ear and out the other, was we're going to be judged by the Word of God, folks. So it behooves us to live by the Word of God. It behooves us to study that thing, know that thing, be assured of the Word of God, and know it, what it means. It's more than a book sitting on the coffee table. It's more than a book in your end table. Hey, listen, it's something you ought to get into. You ought to study. You ought to know. Hey, listen, because you've got an appointment with God. And when I say that, I don't mean it's like you got an appointment with someone down the street.
You got an appointment with the maker of heaven and earth. Of all of the universe. The one who formed man. The one that made you. The one that breathed in you. The one knows more about you than you know yourself. You're going to meet Him. And to some of us, that meeting's a blessed day. We think about that meeting, we rejoice. It causes a big smile to come on our face. In times of trouble, hey listen, times of sickness, people walk into sickness in the valley of sickness, and they walk into the bad news and the things that they're hit of. And hey listen, society can shake their head, and sometimes the doctor will say, I don't know what else to do. Hey listen, people say, well, I'm really glad I'm not in their shoes, but they don't have long in this life. But let me tell you this, if they know God and they know the appointment they're heading into, there's a smile and there's a comfort and there's a joy that fills their heart. Oh, they don't want to leave the body necessarily, but they know deep down everything's going to be all right. They're just waiting for their change to come. But oh, listen, I've seen others that aren't ready to meet God. And it's a sad time and it's a sorrowful time. I've had to preach funerals of people that I know weren't ready to meet God. You say, well, how do you know? Because if they were ready, they surely wouldn't have died in the situation they were in. Because their lives would have been all different than they were. Because I believe if you know God and you've been saved by God and have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to live different than the world. I'm not saying you can't go astray. I'm not saying that you might not, hey listen, getting somewhere where you're not to be. But I'll say this, that sweet Spirit of God just won't let you stay there. God loves you too much. He cares about you too much. He's watching over His children. The world don't care about their children, but God loves His children. He's given us everything we need to prepare to meet Him. And Paul said, and as he finished up there in that ninth chapter, he said, talked about that Christ is going to appear one more time. He's going to come and get us.
Amen.
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 We're going home.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
We're going home. I'll see Him for myself, Job said.
Amen. That's right.
Not another. I'm not waiting for somebody don't have to tell me about Him. No one's going to have to point Him out when I get there. Hey, there's Jesus. I'm going to know Him.
That's right.
I believe I'll see Him before I see anybody else. I do. I absolutely do, Brother Chester. Before I see any of my loved ones, I believe He'll be the first one I see. And I believe it. He wants it that way. His desire is that way. Thank God. And then Paul told him, he said, for it is once appointed unto men, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Judgment is coming. But I'll say this, and you can ask me about this later if you want to, and I know that we're all going to die naturally. But I'm telling you what, the judgment that I thank God for was the one that I felt in an old-fashioned church.
Yeah.
When I was lost.
Amen.
And God put me in the balances of His Word. And I was judged that day. And I was found wanting. What was going on? God was preparing and showing me how to make ready to meet Him. And so that day, I died.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's right.
The inward man died. And I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Paul said, the old man has passed away. And behold, all things are new. Thank God for the new man that lives inside of us. Oh, God has made a preparation for our appointment, and I'm looking forward to the meeting. But if you're still that same old dead man, you're not ready to meet God. When you get born again, you'll know you're ready. And I can declare today that I know that I'm ready. I hope and pray that you can raise your hand and say, Victor, I know I'm ready. If I leave here, I know I'm going to see God. I know that everything's going to be okay. I know that I'll see the face of Jesus. And He'll just wrap His arms around me and everything's okay. If you don't have that kind of assurance, I would run on this altar. Yeah. I would beg Him. I would cry out to Him. I would plead my case and say, God, I want to be ready to meet You, because I don't know when my appointment is, but I know, that how I have to be there. I know how I've got to be when I meet You. It's not because I told You, it's because God's showed all of us.
Amen.
I love Him today. I hope you love Him. I hope you know Him today.
153.
While we stand, while they sing, are you ready to submit to God? Just give in. I mean, that's what it is. You just got to give in. I mean, just give everything. It's not about trying to bargain with God. It's not trying to, to plead and hold on to things of the world, but it's just giving it all to Him. The problem that most people have is they're trying to hold on to things of the world and trying to give in to God at the same time. But the Bible says that the world and the friends of the world and the people of the world and the things of the world, they are the enemies of God. They're in opposition. It don't work. God's going to be God over all of your life. He'll forgive your sins, cover your sins, change your heart, that you'll not want to abide in them. You won't want to live in them. You'll come out of those things. There'll be a disgrace, and there'll be things that you don't love anymore. There'll be things that you hate. And you'll be a lover of God and a lover of the things of God. Book of James, I believe, is the 5th chapter. He says, love not the world or the things that are in the world. Love the things of the world. Love God. James said, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All these things in the heart of man, they are not from God. They are of the world. But God has given us His own Son, and we can come out of the world. Salvation has come to everyone. Paul tells us that in his letter to Titus. I believe it's in chapter 2. He says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. It teaches us. It shows us. It reveals unto us to forsake the things of the world and turn to God. For by grace you're saved through faith. Not of yourselves. Not of your works. Not anything that you can boast of on your own. But simply by God's grace. Are you ready for your appointed time? The days have been set. Your months in this life have been set. I'll say this, the very minute, the very second has been set. And you don't know when it is. I don't know when it is. But no matter what you're holding on to in life, let me tell you this. The time you live here does not compare to eternity in heaven. Nor does it compare to an eternity in hell. People are holding on to the things of this world because they think they got something into this world. And all along, they're heading straight into eternity. My friend, I beg you and plead with you in heart's desire as you spend eternity in heaven with the Lord, with His children, and with our Savior. Because if you don't, you're going to spend eternity in hell, and you're going to be all by yourself in a dark place. There are no parties, there are no friends, there is no light, there is no joy, there is no laughter. You're going to be one that stands on the Bible that the Lord looks at and says, "Depart from me." Bible says they bound them up, cast them into outer darkness, into a lake of fire. But to those that had washed their robes and had them made white in the blood of the Lamb, they walked into the gates of heaven, singing a new song, rejoicing one with another, and praising the Lamb of God. One more verse, Jake. I don't know what you're waiting on, friend. I don't know what's holding you back. Without a doubt today, I believe that we all have loved ones that are waiting on the other side. You might have grandparents, you might have children, you might have a spouse, you might have a mom, you might have a dad. You've got someone that has left a testimony behind. They walked out and stepped out of this world ready to meet God, and they come to that great appointment. And I know that probably beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you think about them, it's with great fondness and with great love. And there's times in your life when you miss them. Probably times in your life you wish you could talk to them, have one more conversation. You could just sit down, maybe at a table or in the sofa, and just hold their hand, just tell them you love them one more time. But you can't. And you think about all those fond memories. But then you consider your life and you're not ready to meet God. I'm not trying to bring fear on you. I'm not trying to make you sad. I'm not trying to distress you. But I'm simply saying that if you're not ready to meet God, you will never see that loved one. You'll never stroll over heaven. You'll never walk down the streets. You'll never get a chance to just sit and fellowship in love and all the beauty that heaven's going to be and all the joy that heaven's going to be. You'll never be able to partake in any of it. I'm trying to get you to understand there is a way, and it's God's way. It's a way of truth, and it's a way through the blood of Christ. It's a way through repentance. You must be born again. Christ said, you must be born again. God's done everything that He's going to do. I've talked to people that have even come out and said, I wish God would do this. Hey, listen, God's done everything that was required for every soul.